Welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, inside stories of noteworthy Cornellians. My name is Lou Diamond, CEO of Thrive, host of Thrive Loud, class of 92, proud supporter of the Big Red, and your host of today's episode. Today on Fresh from the Hill, we are featuring Kia Orion, Philadelphia-based singer-songwriter, now in Thailand, performing soulful, electronic, R&B. Graduated from Cornell in 2014, Kia spent a brief period in the music industry before getting involved with nonprofit work. With a background in hip-hop and jazz, he is focused on creating songs that resonate with listeners in a way that is both energetic and emotional. He recently moved to Thailand in order to pursue music full-time. Kia Orion, welcome to the program.
Lou, thank you so much for having me. That bio, man, it makes me feel way more important than than I feel on the day-to-day. That's dope, man. Whoever wrote that must be really quite the writer.
Well, by the way, you are an impressive individual. First of all, you went to Cornell, so right out of the gate, we know that.
Yes, and Lou, I didn't actually, to be honest, I did a little research on you, like I said beforehand. I didn't realize that you were also a Cornellian.
You know, it really takes a lot to get somebody to do this program, and therefore, you know, you got to show some kind of
I was wondering how they snagged you.
But no, yes, no, well, actually, wow. Well, they found me because I did, as you heard, graduate from the Neolithic era, and they brought me back here in the new medium of this really amazing program. And what most of our listeners are really proud about is that there are some amazing people who are just fresh from the hill, who have entered the workforce or their careers or their lives in different parts of the world and are adding so much to it. In fact, your connection to the show, as we know, is that you've actually helped in some of the production for some of the stuff that's happened on Fresh from the Hill, which is a pretty cool story. But I think what most people would love to hear a little bit is from, I guess, your time at Cornell and then moving to now to Thailand and focused on music. Talk a little about your experience since you've graduated.
Sure. And first of all, shout out to Young Alumni Programs, Amanda, Margot, all the folks that reached out to me about doing the music. I'm absolutely honored to do it. I've been doing some jingles here and there and a couple podcast intros. So it was a blessing to be able to do that. But as far as graduation goes, and I'm sure that there are some folks kind of on their way to real life after this year or arrived there shortly afterwards, you realize that real life is you kind of get that first job right out of college. And it's hard, man. Real life, it kind of, it blindsided me in a way. I had always I always loved music and was like, oh yeah, I'll go work in the music industry or something. And actually, speaking of, this isn't all just a Cornell plug, but it's starting to sound like it, through Michael Seltzer, who worked at Island Def Jam, who was also a Cornell grad in New York. I graduated actually a semester late because I was a transfer student. And so I was doing urban semester, and Michael Seltzer hooked me up with an internship in the music industry. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of folks experience, maybe if they shadow a professional, if they're like, oh, I always wanted to be a doctor. And then you shadow a doctor and you're like, this is hard. Like, this is not what I thought it was cracked up to be. So did my time in the music industry, was an intern in A&R, and it was a learning experience to say the least. I was working at 1755 Broadway. I was living on the Upper East Side, doing the New York thing, biking 50 blocks on the bicycle, dodging taxis. what I realized was the music industry at that time, at least, and still is, and Lou, as we spoke kind of a little bit off before the podcast started, is everything. This is the era of no gatekeepers. And so they were kind of scrambling at the time. It was just an interesting experience where I realized, okay, I always thought I was going to sign to a major label or something, and realized, you know what? There are so many artists that you've never even heard of that are able to make a living doing what they love. And for me, I'm that type of guy. Which we'll get to later in the story, which it starts to make sense to me now. I'm not great at having people sort of tell me what to do. I kind of have to just try stuff. That's the way that I learn, is just kind of throwing stuff at the wall, see what sticks, and just I learn through doing, experimenting, and failing, and taking it like that. So I said, hey, might not sign to a major label. That was always the dream, but maybe I can build out my own music thing and take it from there. So
let me interject a little here, just so you can understand, because one of the most unique things for any of the listeners that are out there, when you look at all, when we think of musicians and you always see, oh, they're a singer, they're a songwriter. And obviously the cream always rises to the top. And unfortunately, in the world of popular music or what most people are familiar with, there's a very limited amount of people that actually have this ability. But more notably, this is a really difficult challenge to not only perform, but to also create the music that you do. Can you share a little bit about the actual type of music that you focus on and how it works? Are you a lyrical person writing the words? Are you putting the music together first? Talk about how you produce what you produce.
Okay, so that is an interesting question. So I started out in high school with I was really into video games, and honestly, making music for me at this point is still pretty similar. It's a lot of software. I play a little bit of keys, play a little bit of sax, but for the most part, it all comes down to using the software, experimenting, and things of that nature. So I started rapping in high school and recording, and then in college got my first real piece of software and learned it. And a lot of the process now is done all on the computer. So that might be a bummer to some folks that are more analog centered, but it's kind of like playing a video game. It's a lot of experimenting and like manipulating sounds, playing a little bit of keys and things like that. But I write, I sing, I make beats, I make jingles. It's just whatever you need is kind of what I do. But I realized that's really what I love to do is to make music.
So now I'm going to ask the question that most people are trying to figure out from the beginning, and that is, how did you get to Thailand, and why is that a space that you want to focus on? I'm very curious about that transition.
Yes. So it's a good question. That's probably people like Kia, stop talking about your music. Why are you in Thailand? Long story short, and we talked about this too, you know, being a Gary Vaynerchuk stan as I am, I love his idea of, this really resonated with me as I've gotten older, is finding what you love. And actually, speaking of, you know, the Thrive Loud, the SAFE acronym we were talking about, of authenticity and like, what is that thing that makes you you? I feel like that for me is music. And so I left music industry. I worked in nonprofit. I worked in marketing. I was a bartender. I was a busboy. I was a high school teacher. I was a substitute teacher. I sold energy on the client of on the side of the street. I was just hustling any way I could kind of make a buck. And then I realized, Kia, when you really boil it down, life is short. How can you spend more time doing what you love to do? And I was living in Philly. I love Philly. Shout out West Philly. I realized if I could pay less in rent and pay fewer bills, less on cell phone and grocery, if I could just minimize my costs, then I could work. I was working just to live, just so that I could be there, so that I could work. It's that vicious cycle of that I think a lot of folks get into, where at the core, I don't need to drive a Benz. I don't need nice clothes. I have maybe like 3 black t-shirts. I'm a minimal dude. I was like, I like to do martial arts. I like to make music. I like to eat vegetables. And like, why do I need to be in Philadelphia? I was like, if I move to Thailand, I can either teach English online or just spend my days doing more what I love and less working for somebody else.
A little bit more of, you know, you are living, well, you're working to live, but more notably, living to work type of thing.
Lou, 100%. Dude, that 100%. That's it.
So here you are. So now you're in Thailand. You're working on your craft and helping to produce music. Talk a little bit about, because it makes perfect sense, by the way, you have this background in hip hop and jazz being that working a la carte, if you would, and having that creative process. So certainly you not naturally wanting to work for others, working independently.
Yes.
I totally get that. give an idea of some of the types of work, because there's lots of ways that you can incorporate the music that you create, and maybe even share with some of the listeners to the program as to other revenue opportunities. Cause you're doing music. There's lots of different ways that you can incorporate music as a business other than just getting on stage and singing and recording albums.
100% Lou, and you probably know all about this as a, you know, as someone who's in this business world, that I think my generation was, we're trained just to sort of, at least, and also where I'm from, you know, I grew up in upstate New York. It wasn't like people were like, let's start an online business. It was like, this is what you do. You'd follow these steps and then you do this and you work until you retire. Where like, now that I'm out here, it just, you realize there are so many opportunities to make money online. You just have to think outside the box and have the guts to try things. Like, I know, these are just a couple examples. There's a guy across the hall from me who he has a drop shipping business, and he makes like £1,000 a day, and it's just from running Facebook ads from his print on demand business. There's a guy out here I know who blogs, makes $10,000 a month just from his blog. Like, I could go on and on. The idea is, Lou, I'm preaching to the choir. You know this. If you are willing to try stuff, in the sense of, there are so many, this is what, when I talk to people now, I help people with content creation and sort of branding, in the sense of, I'm like, there are so many skills that you have that you don't even realize that you have, whether that's teaching English, right? So a lot of folks come over here, me too, when I first got over here, that was my main source of income, was teaching English online. And a lot of folks still do that. And you don't even, you take that for granted, you know, if it's your native language. But there are so many things that you can do that you don't realize that people would pay you money for, that even like you said too, even before we started, that that if you you train people on connecting, right? Which is, it's not like necessarily a physical good, but it could be, if you think about even that one thing, you could sell it as an info product. You could sell that as a consultant package. You could sell that as a Udemy course. You could create your own content. Like, you could build your own YouTube channel, and then you get enough subscribers and enough attention there that you can then get sponsorships for that. There's just, there's a million ways to skin a cat, for lack of a better term. And I hate to keep going back to Gary, but I love what he preaches. And it's about finding what you really love and then doing that. If you really love My Little Pony collectible dolls, there are at least 1,000 other people in the world that would love to hear you ramble or shoot videos or create content about My Little Pony collectibles. Like, I'm so serious that the people are out there. It's just about doing, having the gumption to put yourself out there, one, and realizing that it might not seem like you're some highfalutin professional, but if you can explain it to a beginner, you can be an expert to somebody. Yeah. So, you know, even with you and this now, this skill of podcasting, right? It, going into podcasting, I'm sure you were making a living doing your things, but now that this is a successful podcast, you can then leverage that as another means of income, of saying, I can help you get your podcast. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I do.
It's a skill. Okay. So I'm preaching to the choir. So you know that even coming into this, like, you are already making a living, and then you just built another skill on top of that, that then you can flip.
So,
you know?
So this is interesting, and I'm bringing this back to a music component, because that's what you're about, and it's no different than producing and creating content. You are at heart coming up with what is the right sound for this particular situation, and then how can you build on it, and from different skills. This is something that I've seen those with the musical mind. I want to rewind a little from your experience at Cornell. Did you study music at Cornell as well, or was that just your ancillary hobby? What was your major and your focus at school?
That's a really good question. It's more like, I studied music, but I majored in communication. Okay. In the sense of, I didn't take like music classes, but I should have known from a young age, like, I've been terrible at everything else, just because I'm always thinking about beats or writing or how I can get back to recording more. So I felt blessed at Cornell that they had these studios in Lincoln Hall, which I think are kind of a best kept secret, or maybe people know about them now. But at the time, not many people knew about them. And so my major was communication. I went to Boston University my first year, lived in Boston. It was amazing. But the school, I was like, this is not what I want to do, et cetera, et cetera. Transferred, went to community college for a little bit, got my grades up, and then transferred to Cornell. And I majored in communication. And so, because I always, like you said, I always put an emphasis on connecting with people. I've always known that that is the key, whether you're doing music or you're a carpenter, you to run a business, you need to connect with people. But I didn't have the guts to say, let me figure this out. I didn't have the entrepreneurial spirit so much. I just knew I loved to make music. And I thought college was the way to go. So I was working my butt off to make sure I went to a good one. And so I had the idea, but it never occurred to me that like it wasn't just gonna, someone just wasn't gonna reach out of the sky and just hand me a music career. I don't know why. I just sort of was assuming that was gonna
happen.
You didn't think they were handing them out like
right at the door?
I did. I was so when do I get handed my career? When do I get my number one hit? I didn't realize, oh no, this is something you have to work. Okay, you have to work to do this just like anything else. So it took a while for that to click. But Cornell, that's kind of where I really started to hone the craft and the passion. Was I would go to class, do my class, make sure I was keeping my grades up. I was never the sharpest tool in the shed, so I did as best as I could. It was one of those things where I would then spend my pretty much every other hour in either the studios in Lincoln Hall. Shout out to Eric Feinstein, a music professor there who started to give me private lessons sort of in the software. And then I would just start recording songs down in there. I had an amazing friend his freshman year named Dylan Owen, who also wanted to pursue music. And so the two of us were like two peas in a pod his first year. I just transferred. And so we were playing shows around campus. We were going to New York. We would have my mom, shout out my mom, Julie Albertson, you know, still working in development, killing it. She would, you know, haul our butts off to New York. We'd play at Webster Hall, opening up for who knows who. I was Dylan's hype man at the time. I just saw Dylan doing it. Never occurred to me, hey, I should probably be paying attention now. He's, you know, figuring it out. But it was that being in college, it was such a space that I took for granted, I think, until I left, where you have all these people that are, you know, like-minded, same age, similar priorities, that if you want to do some sort of a side hustle or something, or even if not, if that's your main thing, the community there for me was huge.
So I was gonna jump in on this, yeah, and how do you still stay connected to Cornell, and specifically, you're now on the other side of the globe. so have you been able to maintain a relationship with either those that you had that you were friends with and fellow students or other faculty or other even alum that you graduated with today?
Yeah. So that's something that I was never like the, I was never, I've never been the guy that had like a bajillion really close friends. I've always, you know, had a lot of friends and acquaintances, but always had just a couple close friends. And at Cornell, those same homies that I was close with are still, you know, some of my best friends to this day. And that's actually something, Lou, that I'd be curious. I know this is supposed to be about me, but I'd be curious to sort of throw it back your way in that sense of now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize how much people are the X factor and how much I appreciate, I think now more, those, the people that I may have just been an acquaintance with, but now I'm like, who, you know, like life goes so fast that now it's really easy for me to just hole up and disappear and not talk to anyone. Like that I can do that and just live my own little music bubble. But that's not that connection aspect of as a human, you know, element that we want to feel connected and have community that now, and I mentioned this to you all also off air, the Jordan, you know, Jordan Harbinger and the other podcasters. I love podcasts. And a lot of them I listen to in sort of this business space of the power of reconnecting and maintaining relationships. And so if you don't mind me throwing it back your way, as a Cornell grad, is that something that you now too Do you focus on that, on maintaining friendships with your from your Cornell folks or roommates or whatever?
Great question. And I think this is true of, I was the thing I loved most about Cornell, and I think I can get the feeling from just knowing a little bit about you, this is probably in that same realm. The work hard, play hard mentality at the school has been something that has defined me in all the different stages of my life, but I've always had a connection to the school. In fact, what I have probably increased is my connection to the faculty, to the alumni associations, to new students. I have interns working on the Thrive Lab podcast who are all comm majors. See, I missed out on you. Think of really? The background music I could have had on my program if I had you on there.
Dude. Oh my gosh, Lou, I would have been chomping at the bit, man. That is an amazing idea of a way to offer internship community. I didn't even
think
about that.
So I'm constantly connecting with people all the time. So I definitely fall into the extreme situation of bringing that back. However, what's really great, and what's great about programs like this, because there are people listening right now who have some connection to Cornell and are always trying to figure out a way to increase their connectivity, not only to the people at Cornell, but the great stories. I think what's great about yourself, what's great about a lot of the other guests that have been on Fresh from the Hill, is this is a tremendous medium to expand and reach out from the school. We never had this before. I mean, I joke about this. My son is a freshman right now, so I have that connection going on at Cornell. So he calls me on his walk from North Campus to the quads, which I was never able to do as a student. Never had a cell phone back in that Neolithic era we referred to. And so the ability to connect, and now we have this medium, this great idea of podcasting where people are either right now taking their train into work or they're driving to wherever they are, right, or they're sitting on a plane flying back from Thailand, who knows where, to try to really understand what other offerings, great stories, great people are out there. And that's what we're trying to do with this program. And just think about it, your connection through this came, you know, through the Alumni Association and helping with the actual music that people are hearing for this particular program before and after.
And Lou, to bring some value to myself and listeners as well, how do you go about with you when you reconnect to maybe your homies from the Neolithic era or old roommates or whatever? How do you do it in a way that doesn't feel scammy? Like, hey, I would, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you're out of the blue. It's like, hey, we haven't spoken for years, but I'm interested in what's going on. Or how do you?
First of all, take away the assumption. By the way, we're letting this be known that for next season, Kia Orion will be one of the hosts on the Fresh from the Hill podcast because he's already taking over the guesting duty.
Hey,
you know, you'll just have to work on the time difference. Kia, here's the key thing, right? It's all about being authentic, and what you've been exactly, and which we appreciate, is literally just this is who you are. Your creative music, jumping from one thing to another, type of way of thinking is, and your creativity is the stuff that makes you you. And we don't need to have this limiting belief to say that, well, do I have it? You know, if I'm reaching out to somebody because I'm trying to make a connection or I'm trying to improve my career or I'm trying to get more business, that it becomes so forward and outgoing. That's not true. What listeners hopefully get out of programs like this is an education to learn about somebody. It's an opportunity to connect with another individual, creates a conversation. And that conversation creates a more detailed focus on what somebody needs. And then what somebody needs could potentially be a job. It could be a business relationship. It could be a way that you can give back to Cornell. Hey, I'm a professor at Cornell and I want to hear more about Kia's music because we're creating our own podcast program. We'd love to have him do this. Or someone's listening to this and they're going to start their own podcast show. They might want to hear that. Or they need music for other things that would be out there, right? Don't ever believe that that the world is limiting yourself. And to spin this back, because I feel like I'm playing a ping pong match, Kia, as it relates to you, you have lots of things to offer for lots of people that are out there. So why don't you share just a little bit, not only like when someone wants to reach you and connect to you, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, and Lou, you know, thanks for schooling me a little bit, because that's the thing where And like you said, stories, that is my fault. I know this is, you know, Kia's show, but it is, like you said, people, that's what I find fascinating is when people want to reach out to me too, is it's never a one-way thing. It's kind of, the older I get, the more I realize how little I know. And that's something that's kind of interesting where when I don't know why, I think I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder, something to prove before, where now just I feel, maybe it's being out here, maybe it's growing up a little bit, just feeling like there's so much, I have so much learning to do that, listen, I can talk about myself as all day.
That's what this program is about, Kia, by the way. Yeah, for the very confused listeners, I know who's on the microphone, who's leading the conversation.
They're like, wait a minute.
So wait, but that's actually a great point. And you're always learning and you're always developing these things. So when how can people find and reach you? Let's just get that admin piece out of the way because we want to have that in there for the show notes as well.
So if people want to reach me, you know, it's Kia Orion at Kia Orion across the board, Instagram, Facebook, everything like that. Kia Orion mail at Gmail, all that jazz in the show notes. But that element of, you know, connecting with me or reaching out is something that I think, and I keep bringing it back to this, but that's really the key is building those relationships because, and like I said, with the music industry, it's 1,000 true fans. I think this is the day and age where we try every YouTube channel. We're looking for 1 million subscribers. How can I get more Instagram followers? How can I get more people to like my Facebook page? It's all about here, please like my stuff. You know, take this from me. Where instead, my approach is deep instead of wide. So maybe everyone that comes on and buys, you know, a beat from my website or something, I'm going to send them like a personal, in the day and age of automation, customized and personal deep relationships go so much farther. And that is really, and what I mean when I, too, when I was asking how, you know, how do you approach people in a way that doesn't feel scammy is that's really my whole goal these days is like, that's another blessing if you go to Cornell, which you I'm sure know of too, is that it's you're paying for the education, yes, but you're also, you have a network of just like amazing, incredible people that I'm like, there are so many people that you're friends with and then you go off and live life and it takes you another way that I'm like, I already have a community of people that's just, is just waiting to be reignited of like, friends that you have, but you just get busy. And so you don't, one way or another, you don't stay in touch. But the community's there. Like, it's just about making relationship building priority. And so that's
what I'm at. What was your favorite class at school? The one thing that you took away from it, that resonated with you?
Oh, Lou with the curveball.
That was a softball.
My favorite class. listen, man. I can talk about like deep personal or like business issues all day. I'm like, what was my favorite class? My favorite class was, man, I probably had a couple of them. There wasn't, I think, any one in particular that was like, oh my God, this was crazy. But I took a lot that changed me and I still use certain things to this day. Interestingly enough, one that wasn't even a communication class, but was a verse writing class with this professor named Ms. Lyra, I think her last name, Lyra Van Stefanon or something like that. She's just a rock star. And I remember it was a verse writing class. And she told me, I was writing like very, like what I thought was lofty poetry, but it was just terrible. And she's like, Kia, she's like, ground it in something tangible. She's like, put the reader where you are. And she was like, lick the carpet. Like, not actually, she doesn't like command me lick the carpet, but she's like, when you're writing, describe, she's like, you have to put me there. So she's like, tell me. She's like, you write a lot about what you're feeling, and that's great as an emotional creative person. I can hear about what you're feeling today, but she's like, you have so many other senses that you can capitalize on. She's like, you're in the room or you're talking to an ex or whatever. She's like, what does she taste like, or what do you hear? Like, is there something that you can relate this to that's more universal? Gotcha. And I have taken that with me to this day of, it's not about being in the clouds. It's about like really making it tangible, gritty. Details are what make the story. I can tell you about 1,000 orphans that need your help, but if I focus on Suzanne and her story, that's really going to resonate with you, because it's you take something and you go under the microscope.
Very cool.
And go hyper focused. So yeah, I took some amazing classes, but that was just always one that's really
Kia, we love asking this question. What's the thing you missed most about Ithaca?
So can I put a tweak on this one?
You're going to anyway.
Because Lou, you figured me out already. I guess I'm a pretty easy book to read. So I'm originally from a small town not too far from Ithaca called Spencer. And so Ithaca is pretty much a 30-minute car ride away. My mom, which I owe just about everything to, because she was an absolute rock star, still is, works in Ithaca, works for Cornell in development. I'm going to say it like 5 more times at the podcast, so bear with me. But it's not Ithaca so much that I miss. Yes, I love to go back, but what I do miss is the people of having, it's the only time, and I took it for granted. People told me not to, I still did. The only time in your life when you're surrounded by like all your best friends, and it's, you can, some of my best homies, I could just pick up a rock and throw it and hit their house. And like, that is something that I would kill for, just to have a week to do that again, to go back and, you know, just having someone who's down the hall or a quick walk away, that now all my homies are like out in LA or now across the world, that you take for granted because you see them so much. But when I think about my fondest memories, it's hitting the gym with a friend or getting a meal in the dining hall, like not even to, you know, plug Cornell like that, but it really, I think there's a lot of opportunities to foster that community. And that's the part that when I reminisce is like, man, I cherish those memories so much.
That's awesome. And to take us out of here, I think this is the perfect way to wrap up this show. Kia, let's talk about the music you produced for this podcast. What was your thinking behind how you do it? Because obviously, look, you have lots of different sounds and things that you like, but what specifically did you do as you put together the intros and outros for the track for Freshman Hill?
Sure. And so when it comes to music, I know I've like been all over the place to interview, but that, you know, to bring it back to the music, there's when I'm making music for someone, and Amanda did an amazing job at this. It was, she gave me the direction of telling me what it was she wanted, where she said, hey Kia, I want a vibe like this, or maybe a vibe like this, and I can sort of take it then and run with it. And to be honest, a lot of the music that I make is, you know, I'm from New York, I lived in Philly. A lot of the stuff that I make are like beats for rappers and singers, which I love. But I'm also focusing on making stuff that's a little bit more like cinematic these days. And so for this, it was kind of a mixture of capturing a vibe that Amanda wanted. So when I think about the power of music is a job, you're really just there to create an emotion. You know, that's your job, is you are supposed to make a feeling kind of out of thin air, and it's the most rewarding job in the world if you can nail it. And for this, I was really lucky because Amanda gave me exactly what she wanted. And that, with you, I'm not sure if that's something, but that's a really difficult time sometimes with clients, is if they don't know what they want necessarily, and you can help them find that. But having that direction, I had a blast, made some stuff. As an avid podcast listener, you know, I've got to start checking out Thrive Lad to step my business game. But that's, I already kind of had an idea of what I really liked with podcast music. But I mean, hey, if you want something, for, I've done stuff from you know, real estate commercials to vlogs to like trap tracks from guys from Brooklyn. So it depends what you want. The real key for me is to make something different.
Okay.
That's my whole MO is to be different and to really find your special sauce that makes you unique and double down on it.
This has been awesome. Kia Orion, truly great. We have to have the signature. Were you a Hot Truck or Louis fan at Cornell?
Oh, man. That's a hard call. Probably okay. More Louis.
Good to know. Well, with this, Kia Orion, you have covered the gamut, touched upon everything. you started off with the symphony and ended up with the hip hop bebop. So I think it all worked out as best as we possibly could get. And I think our listeners will certainly be entertained and know where to reach you. And hopefully you had fun. I know you did.
Lou, thank you so much for having me. I had an absolute blast.
You got it, my friend. And thank you all for joining us on Fresh from the Hill. I'm Lou Diamond, reminding you to stay connected and go Big Red.